hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So if you guys remember in the book of Philippians, I taught you a Greek word that is inappropriate. Do you remember what it is? Let's all say it together. Skubala. It is Greek for excrement. That's right. So if that's something that you mean, like, you know, maybe someone cuts in front of you, you're like, ah, skubala. I'm like, you can totally do that now, you know. And people will be like, oh, he's so devout. And you can just go, you have no idea. Let me just explain something to you. Americans, Canadians, Indonesians, Fijians, Koreans, and even Kiwis. So what are these? They are countries, and we are so aware of our global narrative now. We have a shared global narrative. Our COVID-19, we're going to be 10, 20 years from now, and you're going to meet someone at the cafe, and you get to know them, and you're like, hey, where were you during the lockdown? Whatever the lockdown was. Where were you during COVID-19? And every single person on the planet will have a shared global narrative. Do you know that? And these countries, many different countries. One thing that is connected to this is citizenship. If you remember, context plus content equals meaning. So if we have your Bibles, we're going to look at a small passage this morning. Can you guys turn to your books to Philippians chapter 3 and starting off with verse 20. It's going to also be on the stage behind me as well. Here we go. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. The Lord Jesus Christ, as if he's trying to remind everyone in a polytheistic world, in a Roman colony where there's gods and idols everywhere, he has to remind them, by the way, we're awaiting a Savior from where? Heaven, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. One God. We are monotheistic, remember? Who, by the what? The power that enables him to bring everything under his control. Do you know that this, oh, now it's feeling warm now, but like our fire alarms are going off. We have issues with our wiring. I'm wondering what next week it's going to look like. Roving dogs, or I don't know what's going to, like, we're going to have people like hanging from the rafters, children. I don't know. But everything, his power is under his control. Nothing escapes God's gaze. Amen? Amen. Nothing. When you woke up, God said, good morning. I had everything laid out for you. He's not out of control. He's not spinning out of control. God's saying, okay, you're going to have issues with power. How are you going to deal with this, John? How are you as a church going to deal with it? And what do? We're all huddled and praying. We're like, it doesn't matter because we get the fire of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit in me. And that is enough. It's got to be enough. And here we are. Now we're cooking. I love it. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm. I can do this with my big boots. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Whoever they were, Paul reminds them of one great truth. Our citizenship, he says, is in heaven. So context, what is this, what we need? Philippi, if you remember, is a Roman colony. Here, there's a strategic military center. The Romans set down their colonies. In such places, citizens were mostly soldiers and who had served their times, 21 years, and who had been rewarded full citizenship. So if you were fighting for Rome, after 21 years of good service, they would allow you citizenship and live in a Roman colony like Philippi. The greatest characteristics of these colonies were that they were fragments of Rome. So they were very clear with Philippi that we will make sure you know who's in charge. Caesar is God. And so there are busts and idols and statues of Caesar everywhere. The Roman dress was worn. The Roman magistrates governed. The Latin tongue was spoken. The Roman justice was administered, Roman morals were observed, and even in the ends of the earth, they remained unshakably Roman. So if people came into Philippi from other countries, they wouldn't have an identity crisis in the city going, gee, I wonder who's in control here. Oh, it's Rome. And a church is growing inside this city. And it's struggling with identity, struggling with this monotheism, this where everything is around them with, you know, idols of Artemis and Diana and all these other gods. But Jesus is the only one, the creator and the heavens of the universe, the one Alpha and the Omega. And Paul reminds him, but you don't have citizenship here. You don't have to work 21 years and you might get citizenship. You're immediately given citizenship in heaven. Just like that. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means in New Zealand. Here, I read this out. What does it mean in New Zealand? Your privileges as a New Zealand citizen. This is straight from their website. You are entitled to, as Kiwis, to live in New Zealand indefinitely. Number two, New Zealand citizens of New Zealand are allowed to travel overseas on a New Zealand passport. You are allowed to vote. You're allowed to stand for parliament and for local government. You have full access to education, full economic and social rights, and you represent New Zealand in sports. That's actually part of your thing here. Your responsibilities, I like this, is that for your Kiwis, and it's different for Canada, but I love this, the language. You must, not, oh, we're hoping that you can acquire this over time. No. You must, what? Obey and promote the laws of New Zealand. Not act in a way that is against the interests of New Zealand. So don't be treasonous. You need to register for the electoral roll. You got to pay tax. And I love this, behave as a responsible New Zealander. So you're like, that's subjective. So I brought my passports. I am not a New Zealander, just so you're clear, everyone online. I am not. I have multiple passports from Canada. There it is. And as I look at my passports, my face hasn't changed very much. There's me with a mugshot. And this one here. So this is me during YWAM, long hair and a goatee. There it is. It's scary, isn't it? Go ahead. Yeah, it's a class. There's me with long, curly hair. Yeah, I've had so many passports. I've traveled. That one actually has a lot of, you know, tickets from other countries. Citizenship is so important for us, isn't it? It gives us a sense of identity. It kind of grounds us to our place. In the Greek, it's politouma. It means two things. It comes from two words. It means A, a community, and B, it comes into a citizenship of conversation. In other words, you're not an island or a country unto yourself. You are pulled into a community of something greater than yourself. Folks, this morning, as you look left and right and forward and back, you are drawn into a citizenship of heaven, but you're also part of a community. Let me tell you what your rights and privileges are as a Christian. Number one, if you're taking notes, you have dual habitation secured once you have made confession. 1 John, remember 1:9? If you confess with your lips that he is Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, that he's forgiven you of all your sins, you are saved. So on this confession, you have dual habitation. You're allowed to live in two places. Number one is you're here on earth. You don't get to escape. You're going to be here. But guess what? Bracketed. You have new life. Your life is dead. When we do the tank, we're going to do a baptism service pretty quick, right, Ken? We're going to open this up. We're going to fill the tank. And then when I dunk you down or when Ken dunks you down, all that old life is left in the tank. And you come up as a new creation in Christ. This is a new life. And if you look at the Bible and if you look at the New Testament, Jesus speaks more about the new life in Christ than eternal life. Yes, he does talk about heaven. Yes, he talks about where you're going to go when you die. But boy, as far as subject material, there's more about how you live this life on this earth right now than what happens later. You have a new and redeemed life as a follower of Jesus. Notice I didn't say Christian. Christian is a weird definition now. I try not to go that direction. I want to say that we are followers of Jesus. Say that to your friends, then they're going to go, whoa, that's weird that you said that. Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. And then you say, are you? What does that mean for you? How do you define following Jesus? Like John was saying, how do you walk with Jesus? How do you talk with Jesus? Christian is just like, well, I'm a part of, I'm adhering to a religion. No. That's not what Paul's talking about. It's not what Jesus is talking about. And number two, the life that you've been granted you by God is to do one thing, to worship him and do his will. But wait, there's more. Your second habitation is in heaven. You've given eternal life forever. And guess what? You'll never have to renew this citizenship. I have to renew. That's why I have so many of these. Back in Canada, you only get 5 years on these bad boys. Now you can do 10. But you have to do that. You have to send in the paperwork and say, I still want to be this Canadian. I want to have this passport. I want to be able to travel out of the countries and be the ambassador of Canada. But as soon as you confess with Jesus with your lips that and he saves you, guess what? Immediately your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you get hit by a bus, you stand before God and God says, hey, son, you're here. Come on in. Just like that. Well, what about the judgment seat of Christ? Won't I be standing in front of him and having an account of every single thing I did? No, you know why? You know who's standing in front of you? Jesus. His price, his ransom, he paid everything at the cross so that when your name is written in blood in that book, it's done. That's why when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, he meant it. Your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven. Oh, but I'm a horrible, carnal human being, John. Well, so am I. So are you. You're an absolute, total, like, hot mess. You're a garbage dumpster fire. Like, you... But that's true. I mean, the reality of it is your sin has separated you from God. Always. Not, well, you know, I'm actually a really good person. Baloney. No one's good. Right? If we're looking at the Bible... Truthfully, it says no one is righteous, not even one. Your righteousness, it says, I think in Isaiah somewhere, your righteousness is that of filthy rags. Your righteousness. So really, you are a dumpster fire spiritually. But because of Jesus and his cross, I think that's inappropriate in some ways, right? Can I call people dumpster fires? No. All my friends in Canada are going, that's a Johnism. Your life. But the reality is, sometimes I go that direction because I need you to wake up and smell the coffee, smell your salvation. Because we're just sitting here going, oh man, like we're all good. No, you are spiritually a dumpster fire. You are, you're garbage. Scubala. It is Scubala. But because of Jesus, oh, that's why he says this text. But, remember that? Verse 20? Can you go back to that scripture? Verse 20? Here, look at the first word. You got to always look for the buts in the Bible. But our citizenship in heaven. Amen. He's like he's interrupting you. Oh, by the way, during the commercial, but your citizenship is in heaven. It's like, wake up. Smell your salvation. This is what it's all about. And that's number one. So number two, you are required to travel for the movement and the establishment of the kingdom of God. So when you get your passport from heaven... You get it. It's not a real thing, so don't come to my office going, where's my passport? You get your passport from heaven, and it actually says you are required to travel for the movement and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Your passport is allowed visa-free for every single country on the planet. Every country. Some countries, for this won't get me in. Countries like Tibet, Kashmir, Bhutan, countries like that, this just doesn't get me in. I have to do a formal application, and they might let me in. But guess what? Your spiritual passport lets you in every single country. But you belong also to the universal church, the Church of Jesus Christ. I remember being a missionary in Nepal, and I was struggling because I didn't know the language. Oh, actually, here's a better question. I was in a church in Calcutta. It was, oh yeah, Hudson Taylor. It was Hudson Taylor's church, old Baptist church. And I was struggling because we had been working with the Jesus film, showing these films about Jesus. We've been doing these revivals of like thousands of people coming to Jesus. But I was getting tired. I was getting spent. And we wanted to go to church. And I was like, oh, I don't know the language. And I walk into the church just like this. And everyone was like, there was a stage. And they started to sing worship songs. And I recognized them. They were in Hindi or whatever that was, in Bengali. But I recognized Great is Thy Faithfulness. I started hearing and I started to sing in English. In an instant, I felt part of what was going on here. In an instant, that's the universal church. You can go anywhere on the planet, find an evangelical church, sit there, and all of a sudden they're going to come to you and say, brother, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Do you have a place to stay? Do you have a place to eat? We want to take care of you. Let's sing some songs. 3 hours later, and it's a three-hour-long service, but I felt so recharged. Why? It's because this is part of our passport. It's part of our citizenship in heaven. I can go anywhere in the world and find an evangelical church. Show them my passport and say, can I worship with you? And they say, yes, we want you to. The narrative of thousands of travelers around the world. When you go and do these missions trips, when you go, it's so awesome to be able to be in a church that's not English speaking and they start singing your songs. Number three, if you're taking notes, you make a stand, just like as a New Zealander, you can make a stand. You make a theological stand, number one, for what is truth and how it shapes the worldview. You take a stand as a Christian for climate change. You believe that God created the heavens and the universe. You believe in creation care. We're not here just to pray until everything just dissolves and go to rapture. No, as Christians, we are very invested into the life of this planet. You take a stand. You take a stand on racism, and that's what's happening around the world right now. We're taking a stand as the church is standing up, and I have friends in D.C. They are part of the protests. They're carrying their signs. They're saying something has to change. We take a stand because that's what the Bible, that's what this New Testament's about. You take a stand on abortion. You take a stand on what we watch on TV or online. You take a stand for the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, but it's the very power of God for salvation. Number two, what else do you take a stand for? Relational and anthropological stand. Your stand on marriage and sexuality. Your stand on parenting. Your stand on how you treat others and how we treat the marginalized. That's because of you. That's because of your passport. Because there's responsibilities to your passport in heaven. You can't just go, I'm a Christian, and then you bury this passport. We're good, right? As long as I go to heaven. No. Because people are always watching you. They're watching what you post and what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're reading. We, number four, we are citizens of heaven, must uphold what it means to follow Jesus. And like the other part, the behavior part, and we need to behave as citizens of heaven. We as Christians have an obligation by grace to uphold and live out the gospel to the best of our abilities. We must live in such a way that honors Christ. We must think and act in such a way to bring glory to the Lord. We must be always an example to an unbelieving world that Jesus is the real and godly difference that makes a difference to a broken and hurting planet. Because for a lot of unbelievers, they look at me and go, what's the difference? You do the same things I do. You say the same thing. You say and do the same things that I do. And you go to church on Sunday. What's the difference? If anything, the lockdown did kind of illuminate this. Because we had this whole experience taken away from us. And people were going, so you don't go to church now. Are you still the same person? Are you still this Christian if you take away this church part? And I would say, all of us would say, yes. I love Colombo Street. I love this church. I love this platform. But I spent so many hours in my garage from 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. freezing for a reason, You can tell by my hairdo that some of them were literally, I got up at 9:58 and rolled in like, good morning, everybody, drinking my coffee. But I, as much as I love this camera, man, I miss this. But this does not define my walk with Christ. It doesn't define my citizenship in heaven. If this building burnt down, we'll figure something out. We'll figure something out. We'll lockdown showed us that. We'll rent some place. We'll go over to your house. We'll do church. Because this building is not your citizenship in heaven. It's you. You make this place. Children's ministry becomes the best in the city, not because we have the best programs or have the most money. It's because we have the best people doing it. I remember when I started in my walk with Jesus, I got saved at a Christian camp. And we had some toys. We had some high ropes, you know, obstacle courses. We had a horse program, so we had trail horses for kids to ride on. But it came down to the people. The people made the camp. The kids would go, I can't wait to go back next year because of the relationships that were formed with the counselors. Yeah, and by the way, we went canoeing and we had some fun. But it came down to, if we had tons of rain and all those things got rained out, the kids still had lots of fun. Why? Because we took our citizenship in heaven serious. All of our staff knew their passport and what they were supposed to do. They're obligated to share the gospel. They're going to travel into uncharted territories. And maybe God's calling you this morning to take the gospel, take this citizenship serious and go somewhere that is uncharted. To a country where they still don't know Jesus. To a people just across the street that don't know Jesus. You don't have to go to Tibet or Bhutan. You can literally just go over the fence. And those people you know probably don't know Jesus. That's your mission field. Start there. Here's your challenge this morning if you're taking notes. Number one, have you become a citizen of heaven? Before we had our service, I was praying. I said, I think we're going to have people come to know Jesus this morning. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to publicly like bring you up and lay hands on you. But if that's you this morning, how do you become a Christian? How do you become a follower of Jesus? Simply just pray. Pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. And instantly he heals you. He restores you. He forgives you. The power of forgiveness. And he sets you free from sin and death. And writes your name in that Lamb's Book of Life and says, you're going to be with me forever. You'll be with me in paradise. If that's something that you're being on the fence, on the edge of your seat going, I don't know, maybe, but this is the Sunday that happens. Amen. Number two is, just like this passport, do you need to renew your passport this morning? Maybe you've looked at your citizenship in heaven, you're like, whoa, a lot of empty pages. Looks like it's expired. Looks like I'm not in the place where I'm supposed to be. Maybe this morning you're needing to renew your citizenship. Now, for us, it was a 5-week wait. Some of the people in the search committee remember that. They're like, oh, hey, we'd love for you to come and visit New Zealand. Well, I have to send my application to Ottawa because we live in a small town and not a big city. And it was a 5-week wait. And the church lovingly, patiently waited for me to get my new passport. You don't have to wait. This morning, you can renew your citizenship in heaven with one prayer. And then it is just that. You say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to live like a citizen. I'm supposed to be living like your citizen on this earth. But I think I've strayed away. I think I've, you know, I buried this passport in my bedside table and it's been collecting dust. And God hears your prayer this morning and he renews it just like that. And the last thing is, part of that renewal is he wants to deal with some stuff that's caused you to bury this passport. Some pain, some hurt, some sin. And maybe because of sin or because of the things that you've been hung up on, you have said, I don't deserve this passport, and you've tucked it away. And I'm telling you right now, God wants to blow that dust away and say, let's deal with this. Are you ready to deal with this? It might be tough. It might be painful. And I'm going to open this space up here for that to happen. I have a frontline ministry team, some of those people that are known to come and pray for us and pray with people. I'm going to invite them to come and do this. But let's either become citizens, here's your options, renew your citizenship, and when you're renewing, you might have to deal with why you buried your passport in the first place. Simple, cheap as chips, got it? I learned that from someone today. But let's first stand and let's just do some heart work, meaning let's just do some worship. This is a good place. It's a safe place for that to happen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.